Welcome to the Weekly Cool Smartphone Podcast, where our team of writers talk about the weekly goings-on in the world of Android, Windows Phone and iPhone. Don't forget that you can sign up for the feed on www.coolsmartphone.com, and we're available on Twitter too. Just follow at Cool Smartphone.
Yes, it's another podcast just 1 week after the last one. Now, welcome everybody to Cool Smartphone Podcast number 240. This week, I am going to ramble on, and that's really not selling it very well. I do understand. I'm going to discuss Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, which actually happened last month. But first, I want to say thank you to everybody who gave me your feedback. Now, last week was a brand new podcast, and it's been, I do realise and I do understand, I do hear your feedback, that our podcasts have been a little bit intermittent and have changed in the way that they are recorded, and that the format has altered quite a lot over the years. And I realise that people do like to hear a familiar sound and a certain way of these things being broadcast and recorded. I completely understand, and I'm with you on that. So we're going to work hard on that particular aspect, making these podcasts regular, making them good to listen to, and really listening to your feedback. We do love to see your emails and your tweets. I've had quite a few last week. Just as an example, I was recording this podcast. It was raining quite heavily on one of the parts of the podcast, and that introduced quite a lot of background noise. And also, I recorded it in stereo. So, unfortunately, due to the way the phone was positioned, all the audio came out of your left ear hole, or your right, if you've got your headphones on the wrong way around, possibly. So it did make it a little bit weird to listen to. But apologies for that. I'm working on it. Hopefully this week in glorious mono, it will sound much, much better. Now, Mobile World Congress happened, what, nearly a month ago now. Probably by the time you're listening to this, it will be a full month ago. Before I go into that, I want to tell you that I was a little bit disappointed for a number of reasons. Number one was that I couldn't go this year. I have been to Barcelona to the event, the Mobile World Congress is basically a big show, a big meeting for all the executives, the mobile networks, the handset manufacturers, the accessory manufacturers, anything to do with mobile phones, you have to be there. But getting there and actually having a stand is extremely expensive. So to have the privilege of going there and actually seeing the events, reporting on the events, it has been, you know, something I've done for nearly a decade now. And I'm very privileged to have gone through that. Now, this year I could not go for various boring reasons, which I won't go into. But Gary was there, Sam Pullen was there as well, reporting for us for Cool Smartphone. And you've no doubt seen the footage, the videos, the photography, and all the articles that we wrote up about all the launches. Obviously, first of all, was a Samsung event before even the Barcelona festivities began. And that launched all the Galaxy S10 range. I mean, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on the S10. The S10, I'm not even going to say it's not, because it's a fantastic phone. And Samsung will invest a huge amount of marketing money into pushing that phone. You will see it advertised on TV, on billboards, on adverts on your phone, everywhere else. And they also gave us the Samsung Galaxy Fold, which is a folding phone. Obviously, given its name, pretty obviously a folding phone. But it was quite an expensive handset. And I think this is where I'm a little bit disappointed, because Mobile World Congress this year, for me, consisted of folding phones and 5G, neither of which are very easy to access right now. 5G is in its very early days. You've got Vodafone, you've got EE, they're putting masts out in major cities, but nobody has a 5G phone. A 5G phone is accessible. You can have the Samsung Galaxy 5G handset, but you can't buy that just yet either. Now, obviously, we're going to get to a tipping point where people are going to be buying 5G phones and they're going to want the 5G speeds on their handset. And that's going to prove a bit of a problem because in the early days, that's going to be hard to deliver throughout the UK. If you're in a major city, then that's great. You're going to get the 5G speeds and you're going to be able to enjoy your media on the move. You're going to be able to have a massive amount of bandwidth to play with. However, 4G is what everybody is currently getting. And 4G, I think, is actually pretty much okay for most people. You know, 4G gives me faster uploads than my home broadband, and my home broadband is very quick. And 4G will enable me to listen to high definition audio on the move through Spotify. I'm quite happy with 4G. So 5G is a little way off still, if we're honest, and if you're gonna want it, then you're gonna have to wait a little bit longer. The other thing, the big headline tech launches in Barcelona were the folding handsets. Now, obviously, we've got the Samsung Galaxy Fold that happened before the event. Samsung like to now have their launch events before the Barcelona sort of craziness begins, because during the Barcelona week that is Mobile World Congress, there are so many launches. So many different competing handset manufacturers all trying to get your eyeballs on them. Now, it's unfortunately very tricky to keep your eyeballs on one particular brand or one particular manufacturer or one particular phone, because within 20 or 30 minutes, another phone is launched, and then another one, and then another one, and it becomes very clouded, very busy event. And so many different launches, it's hard to find out what is good and what is not good. And it's hard to cover it all successfully. But the biggest issue was for me that 5G, I can't get right now. You know, you have to wait a bit and you have to have a 5G phone. You're going to have to upgrade to a newer handset. And most of the handsets out there still now are 4G, if not all. And you're going to be sort of replacing your phone now with a 4G phone. The other problem I've got is with the Huawei Mate X, which is their folding phone, which, again, the Samsung Galaxy Fold and the Huawei Mate X both look amazing. They are folding phones. The Huawei Mate X folds back on itself so that the screen is actually on the outer edge. It's like playing with the front cover of a book and looking at that. Amazing. And the problem is with them is that they're amazingly priced as well, nearly £2,000. Now, you imagine the highest specification Samsung Galaxy handset, let's say it's nearly £1,000. You know that is going to be, you're going to be looking at £55-60 a month for a 2-year deal. If you want to have more data and more text messages and stuff, you might be looking at a 3-year deal. Now, a £2,000 handset, you can double those monthly prices unless you put a huge amount down in advance. So, yes, these phones are fantastic, and yes, they're gorgeous to look at, and I'm sure the technology is outstanding. The Folding Mate X is a gorgeous thing to behold, and I want one as much as you guys probably want one too. But for £2,000, you're looking at £90 a month, maybe £100 a month, maybe £110 a month, and that's maybe a 2-year contract. I think you're going to be looking at a 3-year contract for a handset of that price. It's going to be a lot of money. So it'll be interesting to see if prices come down, because we have got this problem, which I have gone on about previously in articles, but we have got this issue where phones, especially the top-end flagship phones and the ones that are heavily marketed, like the Samsung handsets, you know that if you want an Android phone, most people will instantly think, oh, Samsung. And for a lot of people, they either have the choice, in their head anyway, of when they go to a store, a phone store, they will either go for the iPhone or the Samsung. There doesn't appear to be any other option that is pushed so heavily and marketed so heavily. Now, Huawei are making great leaps into that. They're really pushing their brand quite a bit. On TV, you'll see their adverts appearing. But Samsung is heavily marketed, and I think it does affect the price. Now, I'm using, for this particular recording, I'm using an Honor View 20. Now, the Honor View 20 is actually made by Huawei. You can actually tell when you go into, I think it's About Phone, you can see that it's the model PCT-L29, I think it is. And it's actually a Huawei model number. It's a Huawei handset. It's got a Huawei Kirin 980 CPU inside it. It's got Huawei GUI on it. It's got Huawei services on it as well. But it's got 8 gig of RAM. Well, this particular one that I've got anyway. And 256 gig of onboard storage. That's a huge amount. And it's less than £500. Now, I really don't see this phone as any worse in any great respect than a top-end Samsung handset or even a top-end Huawei handset. It is a very good phone. The battery life is amazing. I've got on about it before, but believe me, the battery life on the Honor View 20 is outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. And Huawei and Honor appear finally to have got the balance between battery life and actually shutting down apps in the background that you didn't want correct. Now, I've used Strava on here, and it actually recorded my cycle ride without shutting down. Because before, Huawei and Honor had this battery management software on there that was hard-baked into the operating system, by the looks of it, into the EMUI, GUI, etc. And it actually shut down apps that were running in the background for too long. And whilst that does seem like a good idea, it's not good if you're trying to record a run or a jog or a walk or a cycle, because it means that you just simply don't get all of your activity recorded, and that's a pain in the butt. So this phone, for less than £500, it's got a great camera. It's got a great screen. The screen is epic. It's got one of those little cameras on the main screen that are sort of inside the screen itself, so there's no notch. It's fantastic. And I must admit, I'm more than happy with it. More than happy with it. This is a flagship phone for less than £500. It's the right price for a flagship phone. It's the appropriate price for a flagship phone. And that's what makes me a little tiny bit annoyed when I see people paying £800-£900 for a phone that is pretty much the same in every way, but it's got a brand on it. You know, it's got a very heavily marketed brand stamped on the front. It's like somebody going out there and buying a brand new Audi, even though a Volkswagen under the bonnet is the same thing, or a Seat, because for Audi, Volkswagen, Seat, Skoda, same company. The Skoda is just as good, but it hasn't got those four rings on the front of the bonnet. So, I better pay far more cash to get that Audi brand. Is that something you should be doing? Well, it depends. I think people are just prepared to pay a hell of a lot more money just for that branding. So phones-wise, in Barcelona, it was all about folding handsets and 5G. Yes, you saw the LG V50 ThinQ. That's another 5G handset, so EE are picking that one up. The Xiaomi Mi Mix 3, we're hoping to have a review of that one. That was another good handset. That was about it. Those 5G phones are coming. So you can see that the 5G train is starting to make its way down the track. And that's good to see. So what else do we have? So let's have a look at what you actually saw during the event. So we had the Nokia 9 PureView. Fantastic, insane camera array on there. 5 lenses. Amazing. Sony often get overlooked. We saw them, the Xperia 1, a 21:9 ratio screen. Fantastic phone. Again, it's a really nice handset. And the Sony should not be overlooked, but they tend to sort of fall by the wayside. I don't think enough people consider Sony handsets instead of maybe going with a Huawei instead. HTC were there, but they were sort of showing the Exodus phone that they've got, which is a blockchain handset, which I don't think is ever going to sell in large numbers, as much as blockchain is a big buzz phrase at the minute. I don't think it's going to sell it in big numbers. Huawei were obviously there, and the P30 and the P30 Pro weren't launched in Barcelona. More on that shortly. They're actually going to be launched March 26th in Paris, France. So keep an eye out for announcement. Again, this is another little... Going back to Samsung, when they announced their handsets, it was done before the event to separate themselves from the event. And now Huawei are doing it. They're launching their big P30 after the event. Yes, that's Huawei that were there. But obviously the Mate X was their handset that they showed off. They actually showed off the MateBook X Pro as well. And the MateBook 14. What else did they show? The LG were there. I tell you, LG handsets. I was a big fan of LG handsets. The G6, the G5, the G4, the G3. I owned all of them. I love the G handsets. The G8 ThinQ. I keep putting the word ThinQ in. Just call it the LG G8. That arrived at Mobile World Congress. It didn't have... You know, it had hand ID, so you can unlock your phone by waving over the screen, and it reads the veins in your palm. Very cool, but we found it didn't work quite as well as maybe it was told to be working. So we'll see if we can get a review of that, and maybe see how well that works in real life, away from the lights of the show, because the lights tend to be extremely bright. There was obviously the V50, which is a 5G phone, which we mentioned. And that's got a vapor cooling chamber and a Snapdragon 855 chipset. The 855 was everywhere. It also kind of, we covered, by the way, I don't know if you saw, but have a look on the site for the V50. There's this really cool dual screen case attachment thing, which is just another screen. And it's basically a case for your phone. But the back end of the case, the flapper that flaps out, is another screen. So you get two screens for your phone. Obviously, it's going to cost quite a bit of money because you're buying two screens instead of one. But it's a good way to get that extra screen real estate that you're going to get on the foldable phones, but for probably a lot less money. Very cool. Very cool. Let's have a look. What else? The Nokia handset, which I mentioned, with the five lenses. Bonkers. But it's going to give you the photography, which is going to just amaze. You know, it's going to be amazing. You're going to take very good photos with that. There's a lot of Nokia handsets out there at the minute. Alcatel were there with their Alcatel sort of budget range of handsets as well. We had Honor, which, I mean, they were sort of on the Huawei stand. And you know a lot about the View 20. And we've got, let's see, who else was there? I'm just scrolling through our own coverage here, which is rather good, so I can see. But yeah, do keep an eye on the site for all the coverage. Just do a search on the top right of the site. Just type in M for mobile, W for world, and C for Congress. And you'll get the details on there. Now, let's start the car, because we need to just head over that way a bit. So that was Mobile World Congress. For me, it wasn't as exciting this year. Yes, it was exciting in terms of really cool technology. The foldable phones are brilliant. 5G, brilliant. But other than that, for people now that want 4G, you had the Samsung Galaxy S10. You had the Sony phones, you had the Nokia, and that's about it. There was the LG G8, and a few other bits, but there was nothing really that really bowled me over. If you want a phone now, obviously go onto the site, have a look at the reviews. I am really super, super impressed with the Honor handsets at the minute because they are such good value for money. They are a brand that do not spend cash on advertising. You won't see them spending millions on big advertising campaigns, so they can pass on the savings to you. And between you, me and the gatepost, they're very good value for money. Get yourself an HonorView 20. Honestly, get yourself one. So, let's start the car and let's head back and see if it's going to make any beeping sounds, shall we? Is it going to start? The car won't start. Here we go. There we go. Now the car's starting. I mentioned last week, a few people have emailed me about it, about Click Farms and about, I think it was Smartphone Farms, was it? Beep, beep, beep. By the way, can I just go off topic before I talk about Click Farms and about Smartphone, is it Smartphone Farms? Clickbait? Yes, I'll talk about that. Click Farms. That was it, Click Farms. Can I just say that this car that I am driving, I won't tell you what model it is because it's very dull, but it tells me what to do so much of the time and it drives me around the bend. I work with computers all day long. My day job is basically working in virtualization. I work with Hyper-V, Microsoft Hyper-V and VMware. And I have enough of computers and gadgets all day long. And then when you get in the car and the car keeps beeping at you, beep, you need to put diesel in. Beep, you've only got 10 miles left. Beep, you're going too fast. Beep, you're going to reverse into a wall that you can see if you turn your head round, you lazy fat sausage. Beep, the Bluetooth isn't turned on. Beep, it just drives me mad. Beep, you're going too fast. Beep, something else. And honestly, the amount of times I am, and this auto braking thing drives me round the bend. Look, I've got my seatbelt on. Can you please release the brakes? No, you've got to wait a couple of seconds. You've got to do it. You've got to do it when the car says no. Just go when I say go. I've got my belts on. I've started the engine. I've waited for the little checks to finish. Just move the car forwards. Oh, no. You've got to wait for the auto brake to come off. What a load of old bottom. Anyway, what was I going to discuss? Click Farms. Now, this is a lot of people, when we had the early days of Bitcoin, would be buying lots of servers or lots of computers, putting very expensive graphics cards in them to generate coins, to generate Bitcoins. And now, obviously, people have twigged that you can get lots and lots of smartphones and you can use them. If you rack them all together and connect them all to Wi-Fi, you can use them for various different things. Now, in China and various other places, I'm sure, there are companies that offer you the opportunity of boosting your social media profile or boosting your product or maybe writing fake reviews on your product. And that will all be done through one of many, many, many dozens. Look, it's beeping at me again. Many, many, many dozens of smartphones that are all wrapped together. Why is it beeping? It's beeping at me. I'm not even moving. I know there's a bush there. I can see the thing. Oh, thank you. No? It's flashing at me. Stop it. There you go. So, yes. What I was talking about was the fact that you shouldn't believe everything that's on the internet. Because a lot of the time, it is boosted, or what do they call it, augmented, no that's not the word, amplified, that's the word, I knew it began with A. It's amplified in order to promote a certain message. This can happen also with comments on websites, they can be liked. And what a lot of news websites will do, is they won't check the IP address. So, let's say you are in an office, right? You're in an office, there's 20 people working with you in that office. Now, those 20 people can all click like or thumbs up or a green tick on the comment section of whatever news site it is, whether it be the Daily Mail, which is incredibly popular, or the BBC News website, which is incredibly popular. or Facebook or whatever. And a lot of the time, even though you're all coming from the same external IP address, gosh, I've got to reverse again. Please don't beep. A lot of the time, even though you're coming from the same external IP address, it won't get checked. They'll just let you put the thumbs up. They'll let you put the green six on there. It really won't matter. So this is how easy it is to fake a group, sort of, what's the word? A group opinion. Because if you see on the comments section of a website or on the reviews section of an application that everybody loves it, and that perhaps you've had 600 reviews or 600 upvotes or 600 green ticks, you are going to perhaps believe that it's, well, quite rightly probably believe that it's a very good app or a very good comment or something that you should be believing yourself. So have a look on the site and have a look for click farms and you'll see. Now there are other things that you can do if you've got a load of old smartphones. Now those things you can do also involve making money. You can make money by investing in loads of old phones, and you can watch videos with adverts in them. If you watch enough videos with adverts in them, you can generate money. It's not going to be a great deal of money, you're not going to make a fortune overnight, but you can make a bit of money. It's obviously going to cost you money in electric, it's going to use your bandwidth, but it's the opportunity to make a little bit of cash by just watching these videos, even though you're not actually watching them, but watching the adverts and the pre-roll videos. So have a look at that if you're interested in making a little bit of money on the side. But it is all too easy to amplify opinions and messages on the internet using these click farms. So beware of what you're reading on the internet, because it isn't always the truth. Right. Oh, it's 7:30 in the morning now. I've just been to the gym for well over an hour. Why do people do this? Why do we do this? Why? It's, you can eat your cake. That is really easy, but burning off that cake is immensely difficult. Against the Prime Minister. In every way, shape, and form. Oh, God. Segway. Right, here we go. I have been through a couple of days of pain. I'm recording this a couple of days after that last part about the gym. And I've been somewhere that I really didn't want to go. And I'm going to give you a bit of... I'm going to be honest with you, because I'm sure I'm not the only one. When I was younger, which is many moons ago, I went to the dentist a lot. I had a lot of work done on my teeth. I had fangs growing out of my teeth, so I had to have those taken out. I had a brace put on, like many, many kids of that age have a brace. In fact, I don't know of any child that hasn't had a brace between the ages of like 11, 12, 13, 14. It seems that it's just something everybody has to go through now. But I went to the dentist fairly regularly. However, in the last 10 years or so, I just haven't been. Now, my dentist when I was growing up was from my memory anyway, was really not that good. Caused me a lot of pain, and I'm going back some years when we used to have gas. I think it's gas and air, I think. And he used to suck on that, and then they used to do the operation on your mouth, whether it be a filling or an extraction, whatever it may be. Now, I've got this built-up fear of dentists, I'll be honest. I'm not a big fan of dentists, and I've not been for a while. So before I started the previous job I was in, I had a couple of weeks out. And because I was working, and I have been for quite some time, I've worked quite far away from home. I've unfortunately had to work dentist appointments around days off, because I would either have to book a whole day off or sometimes more days off, because it would take so long to go to the dentist, which was the opposite way to work, and then go to work, that it wasn't even half a day. If I got the, say, 9:30 appointment, and then I was there for an hour, I wouldn't get there till, nearly 1 o'clock sometimes. It would take quite some time to get there. So sometimes I would have to have a whole day off just to go to the dentist. Anyway, long story short, I'm boring you. I know, calm. I'm going to get to a point. I don't know where the point is, but it's somewhere in the distance. Anyway, when I was starting this new job, I had a couple of weeks before I started at the previous role I was in, and I went to the dentist and I said, right, I've got so many things I've left undone, loads of work at home, you know, sort of paperwork that hadn't been sorted out, things like that. So I've got all that sorted out, bits of mortgage and insurances and all these things you kind of put off to a rainy day. I actually got that sorted and I went to the dentist for a checkup, a normal checkup. Now, the dentist at the time said, I've had a look and you have periodontitis. Periodontitis basically is receding gums. That's where your gums are receding. And you could try things like Corsodil, stick that in your mouth, wash out every day, or wash with Corsodil, rinse with Corsodil rather, and it should slow, maybe prevent gum disease, because that's what periodontitis is. It's gum disease, receding gums. But he was quite brutal with me, which wasn't good, because I was already a nervous dentist attendee, let's say. And he said, look, give it 2 years, and unfortunately your teeth are going to fall out. There's not really a great deal you can do. You can refer yourself, you can go private, you can try booking into a specialist clinic, but your teeth will fall out. Give it 2 years and your teeth will fall out. Now, that really hit me hard, and that was not very good for my confidence, let's say. And I just assumed that my teeth would fall out. Now, they're still there. They are still there. And I've tried to brush as carefully as I can. I've used mouthwash. I've used lots of little, you know, those toothbrushes you put in between your teeth. I've used those. However, it got to a point last week where my wife was moaning at me quite a lot. No, I won't say moaning at me. She was telling me what I needed to hear. And that was that I needed to go back to the dentist, because my approach to being told that my teeth were going to fall out was to not then go back to the dentist at all. Now, it took a lot for me to go back to the dentist. I will be honest. I'm not a big fan of the dentist, and I got there. Different dentist this time. And I said, look, I'll be honest, I haven't been for a few months, and the lady that helps, what do you call it, a dental hygienist, the assistant, that was the wrong lane, mate. You don't go in the right-hand lane to turn left, dude. Sorry, I'm at a roundabout right now, and somebody's just gone in the right-hand lane and then just turned left. Amazing. So, the assistant, let's call her the assistant, she said, no, it's not been a few months, Mr. Geary, it's been 6.5 years. And I was like, oh dear. So yeah, I hadn't been to the dentist for 6.5 years. Let me tell you, the moral of this very rambling 6-minute section of the podcast is, go to your dentist regularly. Don't leave it for 6.5 years, because it will just build up the problems. Now, I will admit, the guy was very nice. I went to a place called Jack Me Oral Care in Lichfield, and it's a very nice set of dentists there. And I'm NHS, you know, I'm not posh. I can't afford private treatment. And I've had a full X-ray. I think I had 2 or 3 X-rays, which he looked at my teeth, and he did a full checkup, and he told me that I had an infection underneath one of my molars, one of my teeth at the back. Now, to have an infection underneath a tooth it's kind of tricky because he said there are places and there are ways that you can actually get underneath the tuff and clean it out and sort that out, but because it wasn't accessible from both sides, it was tricky to do. So he had to extract that tuff and another one on the other side because I'd not taken care of my teeth and I had exposed gums and the teeth were basically in need of pulling out. So I'm now stuck in a massive load of traffic because a lorry appears to have pulled out on a roundabout behind me and then broken down, and it's blocked the island. And so everybody is going this way, which is my normal route to work, to avoid it. It's nice, isn't it? Anyway. Now, again, I know this is not exactly about smartphones, but I just wanted to tell you a bit about my week. So I kind of decided to run away again, because when I'm being told that I need fillings, he told me I needed a couple of fillings as well, and teeth pulled out, I was kind of worried. I don't like teeth missing. I like teeth to be there. And the options after you've had your teeth pulled out are to either have a bridge or you can have an implant if you go private. Now, I haven't got to that stage yet because we need to have the teeth pulled out. So what happened was, next, I went to the hygienist. Now, the hygienist is the same NHS surgery, and she spent a good 40 minutes cleaning my teeth. And again, this was something I'd really wound up in my mind that it was going to be quite painful, it was going to be quite a hard, horrible thing, but it was really quite nice, actually. She was a very, very lovely lady, and she helped me with my nerves, which, I'll be honest with you guys, I'm not going to, you know, I'm a grown-ass man who's frightened of the dentist. I'll be honest. I'm sure there's many people out there that are scared of the dentist, because in my head when I was a kid, all that dentist did was tell me off for eating sweets and cause me pain. However, that was many years ago. Things have moved on quite a lot now. The tools that they use, the equipment that they use, is very, very advanced, I must admit. You know, thinking about smartphones and what I write about every day and how advanced that has got, dental technology and the tools that they have really is, you know, it's so advanced, it's so clever. And she cleaned my teeth, it was very good, and I came out shining and clean. And she checked how receded, is that a word? How far receded my gums were, and she read out numbers like 2 millimeters, 3 millimeters. And she skipped the teeth that were going to be pulled out. Anyway, so I went back a couple more days later for what I assumed was just the fillings, because he said he would do it in stages. However, he said, well, I've had a cancellation, I'm going to do the lot today, which I was very surprised about, and I wasn't really ready for. So I've had 2 extractions and I've had 2 fillings. Now, I will give you the truth. Extractions are not nice. And I would say, look, you're going to have a hole in your mouth, because take care of your teeth. Take care of your teeth, because I wish I had done now. I wish I'd taken more care of my teeth. I've tried, but my gums are receding and they were going to fall out anyway. But these 2 have been taken out. So the reason for this part of the podcast is you may be able to hear a slight difference in my voice, the way that I'm sometimes slurring my words, because I'm still getting used to having 2 teeth missing right next to each other, and my tongue is having problems doing certain letters and forming certain sounds because the teeth that are normally there are not there anymore. The long and short of that is, it didn't hurt anywhere near as much as I anticipated. My face was numb for about 4 or 5 hours. I looked like I'd been punched in the face. I got half my face sticking up and another half of my face going down. And I did look very strange, but it was worth it. It was worth it to actually bite the bullet, let's say, and sort out these problems once and for all. Because I had left it for far too long, and I was really causing my own problems, let's say. So go and visit your dentist and get it sorted out. Go for regular checkups. By the way, the way they charge for dental work and the NHS, you've got band one, which is just a checkup. I forgot how much it is. It's not a great deal. Band two is £59 and some pence. I forget how much, 45 pence, I think. Now, I had a full checkup. I had two x-rays. I had... That's all right, I'm just paying attention to the traffic. I'm having to change lanes here. But it's okay because I drive an Audi. I'll talk about that in a minute. Now, I had all that work. I had the clean, the hygienist. I had a couple of x-rays. I had advice. I had a full checkup. I had two extractions. I had two fillings, the scale, the polish, all that business. And that all cost me £59.45, I think it was. That was all under band two. So all of that work was just that one cost. That's the NHS. That's very good. I know dental work, it can be expensive. If you go up to band three, which is where you have crowns and you have bridges and stuff, it's £256 or something like that for the next band. And then you can go private, which is where you go for... work like implants, and that's even more expensive. However, it wasn't as much as I thought. Really wasn't as much as I thought, and that's a good thing. Right, driving an Audi. Driving an Audi is unfortunately what I do. I won't say unfortunately. I've had an Audi for a long time now. I've got another one now. And just driving around on a daily basis, I like how much you can get away with, because I like to hope that I'm not a standard Audi driver that drives like an idiot and rams up people's backsides and doesn't indicate. I do indicate. I do let people out. I'm hopefully quite a courteous driver, and I don't drive like a crazy person. However, when you do get in the wrong lane, it's quite nice to have that special badge on the front of your car. Because I was going shopping with the wife the other day, and we were in Tamworth, and I got in the wrong lane. I wasn't sure where the shop was. I'd never been to this shop before. I got in the wrong lane, and I knew the minute my wife said, "You're in the wrong lane," I thought, "Oh, trouble coming up now, trouble here." So any other car, nobody would let you in. You'd just be like, "Oh well, you're stuffed." You know, you're in this standing traffic. You want to get to the left-hand lane. It's completely jammed full. You could sit there and indicate nobody's going to let you in. However, because I was driving this thing, the guy behind me I could literally see him in the mirror rolling his eyes and mouthing the word Audi driver. It was quite nice because you can get away with quite a lot. They just tut and they just look at you and go, ugh. It's kind of what people expect to see. So they kind of let you get away with it, which is weird in a way. So that's a little segment about Audi driving. I'm just going to get a parcel from the sorting office in Lichfield. So I'm just pulling off the A38 and I'm behind a rather large lorry and we're going to get a parcel. Unfortunately, it is another present for my son. I say unfortunately because there's a lot of money. It's his birthday next week, and he's accidentally seen a lot of his presents. So we're having to buy a couple of extra presents because he saw a lot of his presents accidentally on the stairs that had been delivered by Amazon. And we'd forgotten to put them away because we had to dash out. And when we came back, there they all were, totally open on the stairs. So we've got a few additional presents arriving. And I'm going to go and collect it now. Right, so a quick overview of the week's news then, before I talk about any more dental work. And this week we've covered some great deals, and one I want to highlight in particular, if you're a big data user, and let's admit it, who isn't really anymore? I think Vodafone. It's got a SIM-only deal. It's a 100-gigabyte package. It does involve you doing a bit of redemption, so you've got to submit your bills online fairly regularly. However, it does bring the cost of the package down significantly. There's also a code that you can use online, which makes it even cheaper. Go online for details of that. Go on to Cool Smartphone. You can find all the details about that. It brings it down. It's £13 a month normally. However, we can bring it down. Oh no, sorry, it's £20 per month normally, and it goes down to £13 a month with this redemption offer. And it's even cheaper if you use this little code. £13 a month, or even £12.16, I believe, after the little coupon code that you put in. That makes it incredibly cheap. And £12.16 a month for 100 gigabytes. It's SIM only. I believe it's a 2-year contract, or it could be a 1-year contract. But that is a fantastic deal. And it does mean 100 gigabytes should be more than enough for anyone. Don't bother indicating, mate. I'll just pull. Why do people not indicate on roundabouts? Really drives me insane. If you indicated, we'd know where you're going. Fantastic. So yeah, go on to mobiles.co.uk for the offer, or go to coolsmartphone.com, have a look for the Vodafone SIM only offering, and you'll see it on there. I think it's the way things are going. I think people are now having contracts less and having SIM only deals more. Phones, and good phones, are getting slightly cheaper now. We're getting high-end smartphones from the likes of Honor, from the likes of Xiaomi, which is the brand spelled X-I-A-O-M-I, lots of vowels. The Mi 9, which has just come out. Fantastic phones, well-priced smartphones, well-priced high-end smartphones. And people can actually buy those and probably afford them after trading in their old phone, selling their old phone. You can afford one of those without having a contract. And then you can go out and you've got the freedom to get a SIM-only deal. And SIM-only deals are better value, I submit, because you can chop around quite easily. You don't need to worry about having a contract, especially if you've got a monthly SIM-only deal. And that's what I've got now. I've got a monthly SIM-only deal. It suits me down to the ground because I've changed jobs recently. And whenever you change jobs, getting a signal at work is a bit touch and go, because it doesn't really matter what the network map says and what the coverage maps say. Once you actually get to a place, you don't really know for sure. Where I work, you have a 4G signal on the road outside, then it drops to a 3G signal as you go up the driveway. And then when you actually get to the business park where I'm based, it drops to 1 bar, and it's the same for every network. I won't blame just the one network I'm on. Every network is the same. And then when you actually go into the buildings, there is absolutely no signal whatsoever. So you rely on boosters and various network supplied kits to hook into your broadband and supply you with a miniature GSM mast, which you can use then to make calls and use your data. So yeah, if you're ever looking, by the way, don't forget to have a chat with your current network provider if you're having coverage issues. In some instances, if you're on a good plan, they will look at either discounting or giving you a box, whatever it may be called, which will plug into your broadband and supply you with the signal that you need at home, or if you're on a business contract at work. I've known a lot of companies who are on a business contract who can't get a signal, and their provider will save a sure signal on Vodafone. They will supply with a bit of kit that you can plug in and get that signal again, because at the end of the day, it's in their own interest. If you can't get a signal, then they can't get paid, and you'll move to another provider. So they'll give you a bit of kit so that you can use their signal and use your data allowance and phone package. And that's it really for this week. I hope you've enjoyed my rambling over the space of this podcast. It's recorded in my car over the week as I drive to and from work, and then sectioned, that's not a word. Well, it is a word, but it's not the appropriate word. Spliced together using my software, editing software on the phone. I edit everything on the phone, put it all together on the phone, and I even publish this podcast via the phone. It's recorded using an MP3 recorder app, which is in mono this time, so it all comes out of both ears, hopefully. And it's good to have you listening. I really do appreciate everybody that downloads this or streams this every week, and I love to hear your feedback. Don't forget, we are on Twitter at Cool Smartphone. Me personally, I'm on Twitter at Gears, G-E-A-R-S. We're on Facebook too. You can always go onto the contact form on www.coolsmartphone.com. Just click on that and you can get in touch with me on there. But yes, thank you for listening. And please, if you've got any hints or tips or things that you think I should be covering on here next week, do let me know and I will try my damnedest to include it. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.